Welcome to the Wonderwood Podcast. My name is Rob.
And I'm Robbie.
And what are we doing here, Robbie? Why am I here again at the kitchen table?
Well, this is enforced servitude again for you. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Thank you for coming and doing this. It's basically just a way to get everybody up to speed, up to date with new things going on at Eastgate.
And so is that what we're talking about? All things Eastgate?
All things Eastgate, yes. Okay. And we try to have some guests every now and then.
Which we also talk about other things as well, don't we?
A few other things outside of Eastgate that are interesting to me, maybe.
Okay, so we're here
like
for
baseball.
You. Hey, at our kitchen table, there's other people. Who are these people?
Hey, whoa.
Hey.
We've got our...
child.
What?
Wait,
that's
what?
The word you're looking for?
Wait for it.
How do I know you?
I know you from somewhere.
You know,
keep showing up at my
house.
We have Janelle and Matt Green. Matt is the lead worship pastor at Eastgate and also the leader of student ministries. And Janelle is the Kidsgate pastor and oversees that aspect of student ministries. Plus, you guys do a myriad of other things around there. So,
well, when you're part of a small staff, all of us kind of do. Well, actually, somebody asked me this week, you know, sort of, what is it that you do here? Kind of, in a not a roundabout way. And I was like, well, our staff isn't very big, so I have like my specific jobs, but all of us kind of fulfill lots of different positions. We basically jump in, like, it was actually at that memorial that we had recently. Mm. I was like, actually, this is a good example. All the staff kind of had to just rally and show up and help out where we were.
Running sound. And
yeah.
I mean,
setting up.
I just tell people what to do. Whoever's in front of me, I tell them what to do.
That is
at all times.
True.
That is
all
time. That has nothing to do with your role there.
There's a reason for that, though. And I heard the reason on Blake and Gwen's podcast.
Because I'm the youngest?
Yes. That now you have a sense of control need a sense of control.
One time I asked my mom to help me with something. And I was like, Mom, will you do such and such? And she stopped and goes, huh, I must not have looked very busy. Which is kind of, I think people know, if they don't want me to tell them what to do, they know to look very busy.
I always try to look as busy as I can anytime I see you show up.
Which is something I totally did with all four of you kids. If you ever came to me and said you were bored, I'd say, okay, I'll find something for you to do. And you all learned to quit saying that pretty quickly.
That is a tried and true method with moms. My mom did the same thing. I'm bored. Oh, I can find something for you to do.
That's
never
awesome.
Mind. Never mind. I suddenly just got a whole renewed interest in life.
Actually, laying on the floor still sounds great now.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you guys coming today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, Sam's here too. She's
hi, Sammy girl.
Sammy, say hi. Say it louder. Say hi.
Hi.
There you go. Here, take your blueberries and get out of my face. Oh, you're all done.
I don't want them.
All right.
What was the question?
Yeah, we're not even sure. What are we doing here, Robbie?
Well, we're going to go through our normal podcast format, I think, and Matt and Janelle are going to jump in and add their two cents. As much as they want to and can.
We're going to do our best to make this podcast interminably long.
And much more interesting than usual.
Okay.
So, first let's talk about upcoming Eastgate events.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff coming up.
Okay. First thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm just going first.
Sure, go for it.
Why not?
You guys are hilarious. We are starting this month. A night called Student Night at Eastgate, and it's the third Friday of every month, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. at Eastgate, and it's for middle school and under. So kids who are in middle school, it's free. Ages 7 to 10, it's free. We're going to do like a kids small group, and then 6 and under is $5 per child.
What kind of led you to want to do this? That's a good story.
So there's a kid in Kidsgate that has started helping me once a week. There's a cat.
Sorry about the cat.
Trying to drink my drink.
She found us.
I'll drink my drink.
She's like my unpaid intern, and she's wonderful and just been a huge help.
Not the cat.
Not the cat. The girl.
The girl that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it did sound like
it. You're like, oh, she's losing it. Mark it. Anyway, it's just been really cool to get to know her and realize how valuable that time is outside of Sunday morning, where on Sunday mornings there's a lot of kids. It can be rushed. You have 10 minutes that you have to get a craft done. And so I thought, man, how valuable could that time be of just those, you know, 2 hours with those kids and spend a longer time in a discussion and find out more about their life and get to know them on a deeper level. And Blake, who leads middle school, felt the same way. And so that's what we're doing is once a month, Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. And we thought, man, this is another time for parents to, you know, have a date night or just have some time off, whether they're married or not, just have some time off from their kids and not have to stress about a babysitter or how the logistics of how that's going to work out.
The reason I wanted you to tell that story is because I think lots of times when we've been promoting this thing is we've been saying like date night to the parents, which makes sense because we're having to sell it to them. They're the ones dropping their kids off. Mm-hmm. But this actually came from a desire to offer something to the kids, which is kind of cool. And that the fact that it hopefully gives parents maybe a night to, you know, the night off is
the benefit to the parents is actually ancillary to the main intent.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
I'm really excited about it.
I think that's awesome. It shows you have such a heart for the kids.
Yeah, and I appreciate that a lot. I know a lot of people appreciate your heart for the kids.
I'm glad you have it because I don't.
Yes, as we know, you hate children of all ages.
Always have.
That's why we put you in charge of student ministry.
I don't talk to the kids. I just talk to the people in charge of the kids. I talk to those weirdos.
What about Popcorn Parables?
All right, yeah, I'll do mine now. Yeah, Popcorn Parables. Okay, so if you're going to Eastgate, which my assumption is if you're listening to this, you've probably been to Eastgate before. You've probably recognized in the last half a year, I guess, we've been promoting this thing called Popcorn Parables. It was, you know, as I say all the time, I'm a huge movie fan. And the excuse to get together with friends and talk about movies and watch movies, I will always take that opportunity. And Cole and I actually had always wanted to start a small group based around movies. We could never figure out how to do it. So we think we found something where we get together once a month on the third Wednesday. We get in the youth room, which has a killer sound system and a big screen and nice seats. And
how come they got all that? That doesn't. It doesn't matter. It's wonderful. It's. I'm glad like
they smell it on Sunday.
They smell so bad. They gotta have something. And so we go in there and we popcorn and we'll watch a movie of my choosing because I'm in charge, and I don't want you people bringing your terrible movies in.
I love it.
No, and we watched, I'll give like a brief if you've seen, this is always the example I give, if you've seen AMC, they'll have like Ben Mankiewicz come out and like give a brief synopsis of like the production of this thing or how it came about. And then, and that's very brief, 5 minutes or less, we watch the movie. And then again at the end, we do a very short discussion on how we can apply the story to our lives. Most recently we did, in the past we've done Home Alone, we've done E.T., we've done Rocky, we've done Edge of Tomorrow, Cinderella. And most recently, we did Star Wars, the original, and found ways to connect it, kind of talked about how this ragtag group of people, like literally the worst in the universe, the last people you would think in the universe are the ones that were chosen to save the universe. And that kind of, we can apply that very easily to our lives and even the disciples that Jesus chose, these outcasts that were smelly and stinky and probably had filthy mouths. And so anyways, that was how we did that one. This next one we're going to do How to Train Your Dragon, and that's in 2 weeks.
It's a good movie.
Great movie. It's a kids movie, but kids are definitely welcome to come. This is an all ages thing, especially depending on, you know, how you feel about your kids watching certain movies. We want adults there. This is just a great movie, and it should be fun.
I have to just say that I've enjoyed every time I've gone out and
so much
participated in that. It's always great. It's a great discussion. Yeah. I said to somebody when I was there, I've never left one of these not feeling edified.
Cool.
And that's such a cool thing.
And entertained at the same time.
Yeah, entertained, but edified. Just, you know, built up. And,
well, and the idea is I stole this from a podcast. I don't remember what it's called. So Finding God in Cinema or something. Finding Christ in Cinema. Hmm. But they always say all the best stories have elements of the greatest story. And that's kind of what I want to instill in people, is that this isn't just like, hey, I happen to find the little gems that have Jesus in them.
I actually
believe any movie, any story you find, I don't care what it's about or who's in it or what it, I genuinely think if you look hard enough at it.
I think that was actually a C.S. Lewis quote.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Because
they might have taken it from
me. That was something that he would say a lot of times.
All the best stories come
from. Yeah, and that's what the British Reading Guy paraphrases. When he says that, is that
oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah.
It's the gospel story that makes all other stories.
I didn't know you've ever heard him. I didn't know you've ever heard the British
Reading
Guys.
There's been recordings.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Because you always miss that. It's weird.
I'm a busy man, you know? Busy people that, you know, like me, miss out on all the really good stuff.
Well, I loved when you announced the Star Wars movie or whoever it was that did the, because I think Eastgate has a lot of nerds in it. And someone leaned over next to me when they said the Star Wars movie. They leaned over and said, "Is it the unedited version?"
Oh, yeah.
I know. This is a church full of
nerds. It was funny. She told me that story to tell me just a funny story, but I immediately went into my diatribe about how George Lucas won't allow us to watch the unedited. I can't handle this stuff anymore.
I think it's all hilarious.
But anyways,
sci-fi geek people.
It's a fun, I'm among my people at Eastgate, for sure. But it's been fun. We always have lots of people, and I mean, a lot of people. We have a crowd, and
it's a good crowd that's perfect for a good round table discussion afterwards. That's always
so fun. Please come out. Everybody's invited. Please come out.
And we have actually a lot of other groups that go on every month. We have Worship Wednesday, we have a women's breakfast, we have a women's Bible study and a men's Bible study on Monday nights that go over, they kind of go over the Sunday morning message, but all those things are on our website. On the event page, on the calendar page, we try to keep up on there. But they're pretty much on the same day every month, so you can always check there. But there's one other thing happening in June that doesn't usually happen every month, and that is a baby dedication. June 24th. Yeah, so if you have a little baby, I think it's for two and under?
Two and under, yes.
Yeah, and so if you do want to have your baby dedicated or whatever, prayed for, just email. Or sign up. I think sign up.
There's a sign up at Eastgate, but you can email Attention Liz at the eastgatepcb@gmail.com, and we'll get the pertinent information from you. And what we do is we find out the origin of the name or what its meaning is, and then we write a prayer around that, and the whole community enters in on reciting that prayer.
Do we burn pacifiers or anything?
That's an interesting idea.
So we got some other things coming up, right? Like
Surf and Grill.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's happening.
It's taken us long enough to get a Surf and Grill. Because of the weather.
The weather. And a hurricane in May.
Alberto.
What's happening?
But so June 17th is our Surf and Grill, and we're only doing one other one in September. So this is your chance. If you want to be a part of Surf and Grill and get baptized and do that, this is the time to do it. But I'm really excited because this year we're doing things a little differently.
We're going to do something different.
And that's one of the things I love about Eastgate is that we stay flexible to all those things and do
it. We like to keep you people on your
guessing.
Toes.
That's exactly what I said. Keep them guessing.
Let's do what sounds fun and what works for everybody, because what we're going to do is on June 17th, we're going to have one service at 10 a.m. And then after that, we're going to invite everyone to go join us at the beach for Surf and Grill.
And we're going to finish out our worship service, right?
We're going to finish out our worship service down at the beach. So the 10 a.m. service is going to be no kids gate, no middle school, no high school. We're all going to be
family meeting.
But we are going to go ahead and teach out of Romans, because it's a perfect linkage there, because it's Paul's discussion about baptism.
Yeah, we couldn't have planned it better ourselves.
That's right.
Oddly enough, we didn't plan it. That's what's curious.
And so we're going to do something new, a Surf and Grill too, that we've never done before, which is we're going to set up a sound system. And Matt and Tyler, once we ask him, Tyler, if you're listening, you want to help out?
please.
We're going to have worship down there too. And
music. We're going to have some there will be some worship, but I think some of it is just going to be some live music just playing down while people are eating burgers.
Just see what sounds fun.
And then before baptisms, we'll do a song together.
Which I think is super fun. I know, and this is the grandma coming out of me again, but like I think it was around Easter when we all were able to be together in the meeting, and the kids were out there too. I'm like, I love this. I love it when the kids are out here with us once in a while. I mean, I know we can't do it every week and everything, but just every now and then we talked about if we can do it a time when the kids are with us, that would be fun.
And it's fun.
It'll be a little crowded because it's just one service and no kids gate classes, but that's kind of fun too.
That's part of the fun.
June 17th, the 10 o'clock service.
One service.
It'll be a short service. We're going to blaze down to the beach. Isn't that Father's Day?
Yeah, it's Father's Day too.
There you go.
That's definitely what dads want, is like shorter church service, right?
That's true. I would think so.
Can't say we don't ever do anything nice.
So, dads, if your wife is making you go to church, rest assured, at least it's short.
You get to sleep in a little later, and you get to go home a little earlier.
That's right.
Or go to the beach and eat burgers.
Or go to the beach, that's right.
And if you've never been to a Surf and Grill, Eastgate provides the hot dogs and burgers, and so just bring a side dish to share in a disposable container. Those are the technical aspects, which is what I'm all about.
And we meet at the state park at the pavilions right next to the fishing pier. So,
and we do baptisms. We do after baptisms. Lunch.
We had two signed up in May. And if you're listening to this, if you haven't been baptized, go to our website, eastgatefellowship.net. You can sign up there, but there's also a little page that explains about baptism. We've got a video that kind of explains the reason for baptism, why we do it. We definitely will be talking about it on June 17th. So yeah, it should really be cool. Should be cool.
Yay!
Yay!
News. Has there been anything of interest or like nationally
yes,
or whatever?
Noteworthy. Yes, noteworthy. Absolutely yeah. There was. Now, here's the thing. I don't pay any attention to royal weddings. It's
unless your wife makes you.
Well, yeah, which is yeah. why I pay attention to royal weddings.
Thank
but,
you.
But, I mean, there's nothing in that.
Or weddings in general, really.
Or weddings that's in general.
Even the ones you're doing.
That's right. I'm really not there.
I had to beg you to come to my wedding.
So that's never, like, I don't care. But the TV's on and it's going and everybody's watching it. And all of a sudden I heard this preaching and I was like,
who? And you said, who else is preaching besides me?
Wait a minute.
Turn it off.
I was sitting there listening and I thought, wait a minute, I like this. What's going on here?
My mom loved it.
And
too.
I walked into the room and I sat down for the rest of his sermon and I couldn't believe how many times I was saying amen. And I was so stoked that I could not believe that this was happening in a royal wedding. So it was Bishop Curry from the Episcopal Church, or the Anglican Church.
He's from a church.
He's from some church, no. He's from the Anglican or Episcopal, and I think they're either or, aren't they?
They're interchangeable.
I don't know.
Either way, Church of England brought him over for this wedding. He's just awesome. I mean, the message itself, I encourage you to get it. If you get a chance, it's on YouTube. Go back and listen. It's only 13 minutes long. It's hilarious to watch the faces of the royals and all these people who are watching this. And, you know, one lady's mouth is literally hanging open. And she's, but honestly, as far as I'm concerned, it carried with it a prophetic nature. I believe this sermon was probably the most listened to sermon. This was broadcast to more listeners than probably anything in history. And it's what true. He communicated was profound about God's love. Now, there have been critics, of course, you know, this is what's
not
fascinating.
Not from Christians, though, because they're usually pretty and this chill.
Whenever the gospel's preached in general, right?
Yeah. Well, sorry, you're building up to something.
Well, this is what's funny, is that the world at large, we're kind of like the woman with her mouth hanging open. They really haven't said anything. You know, you get John Oliver can rip anything apart. Mm. John Oliver had nothing negative to say about this message.
He kind of made fun of the Brits with their mouths open.
Yeah, but it was amazing. It was so well put and got right to the heart of what the gospel is all about. So the world was actually sort of stunned. Everybody was talking about it. And think about this, that these millions of people who saw this were talking about Jesus. All of a sudden,
right?
Were they talking about Jesus before that? No, they were
probably not.
It was like the way you said that. No,
I'm just saying
these
that everybody,
godless heathens.
No. What I mean is they were all, you know, everybody was there to pay attention to the royal couple. Everybody left talking about Jesus. Him.
Well, what I love, when else do you get an opportunity to preach to Elton John and Queen Elizabeth
it was just
at the
amazing.
Same time?
Right. Oprah Winfrey.
And of course, the critics, one noted evangelical leader said, well, you know, he never, ever talked about judgment in this at all. It was a judgmentless message. And I thought, could you imagine if I got up at a wedding and said, you know, you're here to be married and do you love each other? And by the way,
you're
if you don't love
going
Jesus,
to hell.
You're going to hell. But
anyway, some do that.
Do you say yes? Do you say yes?
if not, you're going to hell.
And the other argument that was the saying that was a crossless message, that it didn't even talk about the Christ sacrifice. But I disagree. I completely disagree with that. If you really listen to the message, he most clearly identifies Christ's sacrificial love for us going to the cross. He didn't mention the cross, but Christ dying for us. I mean, just because you don't say the word cross doesn't mean that that's a crossless
message.
No,
it does. That's in the Bible.
Is everything supposed to be said in 1:13?
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
This is the thing that nobody uses scripture to measure these sermons. Like, what I would challenge anybody is that if you're going to try to tear somebody else's sermon apart, then go and read Paul's sermon to the Athenians on Mars Hill. You'll be surprised at what he doesn't talk about in there, and then what he does.
What he affirms.
About. Now, he did talk about judgment in that, but it wasn't a wedding, you know. So I mean, it's a different context. I have yet to ever in my life preach a sermon where at a wedding, and you always include a sermon in the whole thing. I've yet to tell everybody they're on their way to hell at a wedding. There's a time and a place to try to communicate ideas and concepts.
No, I totally disagree. I say no judgment, no wedding. In fact, that should be our next bumper sticker.
No judgment, no wedding.
And I do want to clarify, it sounded like the way you said that made it sound like there's a time and place for telling people they're going
to
go to hell.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, there's a time and a place to deal with concepts of a theological nature, such as eschatological issues of what happens.
It's the bird song.
Post-mortem.
There's a time for love and a time for...
There you go.
Yeah, I know it's based on love. I'm trying
the birds, back when Solomon was...
You deal with it when Scripture deals with it. British when you're thing. Going through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you deal with it when it comes up, which doesn't happen to be a whole heck of a lot.
No, it doesn't, but... Anyway,
it was a beautiful message, and one of my favorite things was how he had a smile on his face
the entire time. I cannot recommend it enough to go and listen to that. It's edifying. Again, there's that word, but it's just a wonderful message.
He talks so much about love and about doing good for others, and I told Rob another thing that I loved about it so much was how he was speaking to the elite of the elite in this world. And how he was speaking to people who could make a difference in world.
Yeah, think
and
about that.
They're like the most powerful people.
Yeah. They were.
Like
financially,
Paul. Was preaching to the kings and rulers and those who could actually effect changes or make a difference. And
that's really cool.
It's
and
beautiful.
They can take what they want to out of it.
So it is exciting. And I'm not afraid to say that I believe it was a prophetic message to the world, a prophetic message to the nations. About what it is that God's view is, what his perspective is, what his emphasis is, what it is that he's wanting for this world.
I wonder, I mean, I think about the kind of pressure this guy must have been under by himself and other people, just realizing you have 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they gave him that.
Right, sure.
Because they said the only complaint really from the Brits was that it was a little long. They weren't used to something quite that long, and it was 13 minutes.
But you know what I mean? Like, if you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes and the whole world is listening, what would you say? I mean, that's pretty... I feel like that's a question all of us could ask ourselves.
That would be a great message to share with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had 5 or 10 minutes to try to communicate...
And it's literally the world.
Except for all the men in the world, everybody else was listening.
That's true.
Dad.
Unless they had to sit there with their wives because their wives made them.
Dad had a funny story when he had to speak.
Yeah, that's right.
Conference.
Just recently you did a youth conference.
Yeah, we do funny stories, don't we?
Yes. That's so funny, usually at your expense.
I was just teaching at a youth conference from a group that comes down every year from LJ, Georgia. And they have the youth group, and they're down there at Laguna Christian Retreat. And so the last day of the conference, I kind of got there late. I got stuck in traffic trying to get from my house to Laguna Beach in summertime traffic. I was kind of lagging behind. So I had to text him at a stoplight. I was not texting and driving, but I was texting him at a stoplight, said, "I'm running late. I'll be there as quick as I can." When I got there, worship had just started. It was just ready to start. And the worship leader was drumming his guitar, just saying, "I want you to reflect and think about what God said to you during this whole time, what's going on." And he said, "I just want to have a moment here where we're just going to be quiet and think about that." And all of a sudden,
someone got murdered?
That's my ringtone. My ringtone.
No, Rob decided to watch Kill Bill right then. Moment of silence. Perfect. I've been waiting to get to this part.
My ringtone is the Kill Bill whistle. And just at that moment, and right at the moment, he said, let's be quiet. And silent, my phone went off. Who called me, by the way?
Who was that?
Who really would call me when they knew there was going to be...
All I knew was that surf was up and I was promised a day at the beach.
That's true.
And it was 9:30 and I hadn't heard from you, so...
Well, something went wrong.
Anyway, one of the other chaperone adult leaders came to me afterwards and said, way to make an entrance, boy.
But, they took it well, didn't they?
Yeah, you were the other person who called me. Like, that's happened to me at Eastgate before.
At some point, you got to learn to just silence your phone because I'm never going to wait for the right time to call you.
Well, that's when you were living in Jacksonville.
I was living in Jacksonville.
Time change was an hour off or the time was
Yeah, and from my perspective, I get out of church, we'd all eaten lunch. I mean, it's like, you know, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
1 o'clock.
Noon our time. Yeah.
And I called Dad and he answers and he's like, hello. And I was like, oh no, did I wake you up from a nap? You know, is everything, what's going on? What are you doing? Because he sounded super awkward. And he's like, oh no, I'm preaching a sermon right now. And I mean, I feel like the world around me just stopped. Like in the movies, you're just like, no. And I was like right now? And he's like, yeah, right now I'm on stage. Everyone's watching you. Say hi to everybody. And I'm like, oh, I just wanted to die.
And I remember people came to me afterwards that he planned that, didn't he? That was all planned. I know. Nope.
It wasn't. I still have really people say, are you the kid that called your dad during the sermon? I'm like, yeah, so it was just 10 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I got to learn how to silence that. I, you know, here's the stupid thing is, I had my phone silenced the entire time. I turned it off that next time because I'd gotten a call. I mean, somebody had tried to call me and I missed it because the ringer was off. And I thought, oh, I should turn that back on when I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when I turned it back on, I forgot.
And so. my spidey senses. It happens. Call him now.
This is it.
We're all human.
Thanks, Mom. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we always talk about this all the time, how much we depend on volunteers. So we're going to let you guys highlight some volunteers that you depend on or work with a lot.
Who's going first?
Me, always.
All right, go for it.
I thought of a couple of people, two people that I was thinking of recently, and they're two guys that, for Kidsgate, the ministry that I'm in charge of, is normally females that I have volunteered. I'd say like 80% of my volunteers are females. And so there are two guys that I was thinking of recently that have been volunteering for several years consistently, and I depend so much on them. And that is Dennis Gallagher and Scott McCutcheon. They're my second service front desk volunteers, and they're incredible. They are always there. If they
they're longtime members of Eastgate.
Yeah,
too.
They've been around forever, but they've been volunteering for a really long time. And they're one of those people. They're those people that always let me know if they can't be there, which is like a big woohoo, thank you. Yes. And not only that, but they cover for each other. You know, they don't even necessarily always ask me to find it for themselves. They like talk to each other and get it worked out. But they're just there with a smile on their face, and I'm just so thankful for families that maybe it's their first Sunday and it can be a little intimidating. Getting signed up with a new system, and that we have people like Scott and Dennis who Scott has been a part of the front desk since we have had a front desk, which was probably 6 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's how long this guy has volunteered.
Wow. Scott's
and
awesome.
And he told me, you know, last week, oh, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to help, you know, work on the schools to get him a little safer, do some stuff like that with his job. So he wasn't going to be able to volunteer at church because he's helping with schools, which that's amazing by itself.
Yeah.
And so I had Dennis. Dennis said, no problem. I'll cover for Scott. You know, Dennis already volunteers twice a month. And so he offered to take on an extra week. And when I got there, Scott was there. And Scott was like, I ended up going later. So I'm here. You know, even though I already found someone to replace him, he showed up anyway.
Wow.
And I just thought, this is amazing. I just wish I had 100 more people like them. And just
that's awesome.
I just really appreciate their heart. And I feel like there's 50 people I could think of, honestly, off the top of my head that do things like that in Kidsgate because we just have amazing volunteers. But those are the two people I wanted to highlight today.
That's awesome. I don't know that they have any idea how much appreciation we have for them. I mean, when I just see their faces, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
And a new person walks in, and if they've stepped away from the desk for a second, I like hit panic mode. I'm like, I can't help you. I don't know what to do, but hold on just a second. And I mean, I just take a few steps and okay, here's Dennis. He can help you. Here's Scott. He can take care of you. And it's just such a relief because they just step in and do
they're so
competent.
And comfortable and at ease and friendly.
And friendly faces.
They really represent the attitude that we want people to experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just think they're amazing. And I wanted people to know that.
Cool.
All right.
I'm going to highlight a couple of musicians. Obviously, we have like a whole, we have a nice little group of musicians that we get to rotate in and out at Eastgate, which is wonderful. There's lots of churches that have no musicians, and we have so many that we have people wanting to play more than they get to play, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to highlight two that I depend on so strongly and that are some of the most dependable people I've ever worked with, and that is our two main drummers, Sean Christian and Josh Harple. These two guys, they basically split up the month, each taking about two Sundays. And sometimes we'll have Trevor and or somebody else or come up and step up. I mean, they're great too, but I wanted to focus on these two guys because, first of all, they're both really good drummers. We don't pay any of our musicians. I don't know if people know that. I know a lot of churches do. We don't.
We don't pay any.
Don't tell the musicians that other churches. Don't tell other churches that they're paying their musicians. We like to keep them ignorant to that fact. But Josh and Sean are both super dependable. They're always prepared. Like maybe the most prepared people in the band, which is great because if you know anything about playing with a band, if your drummer is good, that's all you really need. Mm. And these two guys come in prepared. They come in ready to play. They come in with great attitudes. And always. Best of all, they work well together, which is not something that happens a lot when you have multiple people at one position. These two guys talk to each other. They discuss the mechanics of the drum set. They discuss how they're playing songs. They get along. If you know anything about musicians, they are a fickle, emotional bunch of people. And these two guys have made my job all the easier. So
awesome.
If you see them, please thank them. They if you have at all appreciated the music that happens at Eastgate, they are a giant reason why.
That's awesome.
A bad drummer will destroy an otherwise good band. That is absolutely true.
Mm.
And we've been very lucky with those two guys. Cool. And anybody else and with all the other drummers as well. But those two I wanted to focus on.
Yes, that is something that we never want to take for granted because worship is one of my favorite parts. There's only really two parts of Eastgate. There's the worship and the teaching. But I do love the worship so much. And honestly, for me, I'm not a musician. I don't know anything about music. You only notice it if it's a problem
if
it's bad. Right. And so for me,
so
I just
never
flow
the
along
no news
with
is
everything.
Good news.
No news is good news. And it's beautiful.
Like I wake up and oh,
it's all beautiful.
It's all
to me. Yes.
That's good. That's a good thing.
I'll tell you, we think about like, people will say, oh, Eastgate is awesome. And the reason that it's awesome is because of people like Scott and Dennis and Sean and Josh. And even the Hands and Feet Ministry and John Kittler the other day, who works with the Hands and Feet Ministry, got it in his heart to start pressure washing the, because, you know, we rent this building and the courtyard gets a little bit moldy and gnarly. And so he just got it in his heart to get out there. And he's been coming out regularly to pressure wash the entrance areas and make
and he's
it look
not
nice
using like one of those big industrial things.
No.
He's using
an electric pressure.
And this is going to take him some time, and he is just putting the work into
he
it.
He told
really
me that
cool.
He wants to pressure wash. God is not mad at you.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, I love it. So
that's so cool. Yeah. Yes,
we should do that at the Surfing Grill. We should do that with sunscreen. God is not mad at you on our back, so we burn
awesome.
It into our skin.
Don't tell
I
Kelly.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. The dermatologist.
Yes.
That's right. But that's the whole thing. You know, it takes a community like this to come together to form this kind of common personality and join together for a work like this for an advancement of the kingdom of God. And it's a beautiful thing to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Well, you know how much we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Do you like movies? Do you like Jesus? Do you like movies and Jesus? Well, have we got the group for you? Popcorn Parables, once a month, on the third Wednesday each month, we get together in the Gig Youth Room and we watch a movie. We learn about its history and we try to find ways to connect the story to our walk with Christ. On the third Wednesday of every month at 6:30, join us in the Gig Room for a movie, popcorn, and fellowship.
So Matt and Janelle, what kind of stuff are you reading? What movies are you watching? You probably do more movies than TV. We always have TV we talk about.
Janelle watches
whatever,
a lot of TV.
Whatever you like, we want to know what you're into lately.
Have you seen The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
No. What is it?
I'll tell you. It's on Amazon Prime. Ooh. And it's by the lady who did Gilmore Girls. The creator of
Gilmore
Girls.
Well, then I'll love it.
So it's fast-talking dialogue. And it's from the 50s. So it's like really fun to see just even the dresses. And it's for adults only.
It's just feminist propaganda. Stop
it. I will say it's for adults.
Okay.
In fact, I hope it's okay that I brought it up.
That's right. I don't think little kids listen to this podcast.
Okay, because I realized the first episode.
There's three people that listen to this podcast. They're
already all 80 years old.
And they're in this room.
They've seen it all. That's right.
Okay, well, okay, also, because Google's a thing, you can Google and see if you feel like this is something you'd be interested in. Because it is kind of, it's more adult than Gilmore Girls. But it's about this woman who's married and she has two kids and her husband leaves her. And he's been cheating on her and he leaves her and
goodbye.
Yeah. And so he had wanted to be a stand-up comic and she was always there at his shows and she was actually really the funny one. And so when he left her, they said, you know what? You should be the stand-up comic. And so she tries to do stand-up comedy in the 50s as a woman. And she actually gets arrested a couple times and for using profanity on stage
as
a woman.
Yeah.
She's not allowed to do that. So
how about that?
It's really interesting and it's, I'm just totally addicted to the way I was to Gilmore Girls, where the dialogue's really fast. It's funny. It's interesting.
Who's in it? Anybody we know?
The girl from House of Cards, Rachel, the Kevin Spacey's sidekick love interest guy. That he was obsessed with.
Okay. Yeah.
She's totally different. She's like got a New York accent in this. You'd hardly even recognize her.
Uh-huh.
And then, the girl who plays, who's the voice of Lois in Family Guy. And she was on Mad TV.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember her name.
And then the guy.
Alex Borstein.
And then the guy who was Monk. Who's Monk? What's his name?
Oh.
Monk.
Yes. Yeah, he plays her dad.
Yes.
So it's really fun and interesting, and I love it. I love the sets and the dialogue, and I'm actually obsessed with it I watched three episodes yesterday.
And this is actually thanks to our other worship leader, Dale Stidham. She was the one that told you about this.
How many seasons?
It's on Amazon Prime, and they have one season so far, I think. They're working on the second right now.
Okay. All right. Because we're all about binge watching.
You would love it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm all over it. Sounds great.
All right, Matt, it's your turn.
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub. That's it. That's totally it. Sorry. Is it my turn? Are you done? You have nothing else to talk about?
No, that's it.
Okay. I'm going to fly through some stuff.
Do it, Matt.
All right. So I'll start with some books. I'm reading I'm reading It by Stephen King, which is 1,000 pages long, but it's so good.
Wasn't there a miniseries?
There was a miniseries in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Is that
with
the airplane one? No.
No. You're thinking of Twilight Zone.
We saw It. I feel like we saw it.
There's also a movie that came out last year called It.
Okay.
Anyways, this is a scary book about a creepy clown. Terrorizes some children.
Okay.
It's perfect. Right up my alley. I'm also reading Bone, the comic book compendium by Jeff Smith that I love. It's
brilliant.
It's been years since I'd read even a little bit of Bone, but my brother got me the whole compendium, so I've been reading that. And I'm also reading Scary Close by Donald Miller, which is just his latest book. It's kind of about him getting married and what it took for him to let go of some stuff so that he could let somebody back in. It's really good.
Interesting.
It's a really cool book. He's the guy that wrote Blue Lake Jazz.
Yes.
And Searching for God Knows What. So he's great. He's a great writer. Okay. I've been listening to, podcast-wise, I've been listening to a podcast called The Weezer Bracket, which is these two guys get together and they have made a bracket of the 64, what they think are the 64 worst Weezer songs, and they're trying to get to what they think is the worst Weezer song ever written. What I love about these guys, I'm a giant Weezer fan, but every Weezer fan in the world knows that there are bad Weezer songs, actually a lot of them. And these guys are huge fans of Weezer as well, and so they're going through, and it's great.
That's hilarious.
So that's a lot of fun.
Hey, before you leave, did you hear the cover of
Africa? It's so good.
It is.
I love that song anyways, but
you know, this one said what?
Robbie.
There's no difference.
Oh no, there's a huge difference. It's like a rock and roll version of Africa.
Exactly.
No, it's so good.
Anyway.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. You can listen. Okay. Music. I've been listening to Kacey Musgraves' latest album. She's a country artist who writes these really clever, intimate lyrics about love and breakup and stuff. But it's really good. Kacey Musgraves. I've been listening to Passion's latest release, the Passion Conference. Mm-hmm. Happens once a year. They usually put out a release.
The worship.
I don't always love it, but this year is really good. It's a good collection of songs. It's the Passion Conference. The Passion albums are not original music. They usually pick from like a lot of big worship that's happening around the country. And one that I'm really stuck on is a song called Reckless Love that they've done by a guy named Corey Asbury. They've kind of done it their own way. It's great. So that's that album. And then Marmosets, which you actually talked about before.
Yes.
I
love them.
Their new album, I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't either.
What We Know Now or something like that. Anyway,
it's so good.
It's so good. It's just this girl-led riff rock.
Yeah, riff
like rock. Heavy, fun, catchy rock and roll. It's great.
Brilliant stuff.
Yes. Okay, movies. I'm trying to fly through these as quick as I can.
No, that's fine. You're good.
I created this list for Sam, my daughter, of all the movies I want to show her that I'm excited to show her over the years. And we're going through. I have it set by age. So we finished up her 5.5. She's 5.5. Or no, 5. She's 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we finished up her 5 just recently with the last movie I wanted to watch when she was 5, which was Funny Face. Starring Audrey Hepburn and
Fred Astaire
from the 1960s. I've shown her some other movies from the past that she's been less like. Singing in the Rain, I thought, was a for sure hit. She did not. I mean, I realized later, like, that movie is full of like Hollywood in jokes. Like, that's the whole movie's a play on Hollywood. She didn't get any of that.
Gotcha.
So, but Funny Face is just fashion and singing and humor.
There you go.
And she was all about it. So that was a lot of fun. Funny Face. I also watched a movie called John McCain, For Whom the Bell Tolls, which is a documentary on HBO about John McCain. And in a world that we live in where politics and media around politics has worked so hard to show that there's this huge divide in people, and in specifically Democrats and Republicans. This movie is a talking head documentary full of people like Barack Obama, Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, Joe Lieberman, like it, and all of them, and John McCain, and all people on both sides of the aisle coming together talking about this man who served his country, even though they disagreed, and what they loved about him, and the things he did for his country. And it was a good reminder for me that, oh, we live in a country that actually will work. We'll work together if you put humanity first. So it's a really cool, sorry, I hit the table. It's a really cool documentary. It's on HBO. I definitely recommend that. John McCain, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And then the last thing, Janelle and I, getting ready for Ocean's 8, watched the entire Ocean's trilogy with Brad Pitt and George Clooney over the past couple weeks. And that is a blast. Well, 12 is not good. But 11 and 13 are genuinely great.
They're
both of
so
them are
much
great
fun.
And so fun. It's such a cool.
Yeah, seen them a while,
it's a cool people. Series. The dialogue's incredible.
And they have good chemistry together.
Great chemistry.
The actors, right?
Great chemistry, and the heists are fun. And
you just kind of smile through the whole thing.
You just have a blast. So anyway, so that's all. That's my stuff. This
it.
Section was going to be the longest for me. I knew I was just going to.
No,
fly through.
That's fine. That's awesome. I thought you did a great job with it. I'm
we opened the floodgate.
You did. I warned Blake and Gwen. When I was on Blake Gwen's podcast, I told them the same thing. I was like, don't open these floodgates unless you want them.
No, I think it's perfect. I love it. Thank you so much. And I think that you can hit rewind and write
That's
all
right.
these things down.
Write them down. This is good
they're
stuff.
They're worth it. Matt puts a lot of thought into all
rewind.
These things.
Rewind.
Rewind. Go back.
You know, on the...
It's still called rewind. I mean, you're not technically rewinding.
Yeah,
but
I was just going to say.
No, you guys put this podcast
it's
out
reverse.
On cassette,
I don't think
you?
Anybody puts... I don't think it's called rewind. I think it's called reverse.
Reverse. Do you put this podcast out on LP or anything?
We put it out on reel to
reel.
Reel to reel.
We got
an 8-track. There it is.
How about you, Rob? You
Photograph.
Been reading anything
I have
new?
Nothing as cool as Matt's.
I know, I'm so impressed.
Well, it's just long. It's not cool.
No, it's very cool.
I got a book that I haven't bought the actual book. I got it downloaded a sample, but I'm going to definitely buy the book because it's so fascinating. And it's called Destroyer of Gods, which sounds really cool, but it's a history book. And it's about the impact.
Totally kidding.
The impact of the early church in Roman culture. And how it was actually Christianity that redefined religion. Religion played a completely different role in the world of ancient history. And from Christianity forward, religion takes on a completely different complexion than it did prior to that. So it's fascinating. It's a very interesting thing.
That's all. Good. So it's awesome. not as. What about you, Robbie? Are you watching, reading?
Hey.
Oh, you must be reading something. Tell me what you're reading.
I didn't say, don't make fun of me. You know I only listen to things. there's two new podcasts I've been listening to, and I don't think I mentioned this one before, but Jessica, my older daughter, told me about Ear Hustle, which is a podcast that I love. It's it is a podcast that's recorded in San Quentin Prison, recorded mostly by the prisoners and then by this volunteer who's a visual artist. And she actually sounds like this one person from NPR. But anyway, it basically discusses prison life and that kind of thing. And you hear from a lot of the prisoners, and it's very eye-opening. It's very humanizing for all the prisoners that are there.
I heard about that podcast.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. And they even were eventually allowed to do a Facebook Live broadcast of the prison grounds. And it's recorded. It is on Facebook. You can look that up if you want to. And then April, my niece, told me about another true crime podcast that I have listened to called In the Dark. And it's on its second season right now. And it's a lot of investigative kind of thing, which honestly, these are so cool to me because some of these honestly do solve some crimes.
Wow.
And the first one they started, they had investigated for 6 months. And when they started to record, the 25-year-old crime became solved. And it wasn't necessarily, I don't think, because of them, I don't know, but they started with, okay, now we know who did it. And we're going to go back and explain how this was a miscarriage of justice for 25 years.
Oh my gosh.
And they looked at it, and it is fascinating. Now they're on season 2, and that one's not solved. But anyway, I love
that.
I want
to say something about this, because my mom loves crime
true
stories.
True crime.
Oh, yeah.
Forensic Files, all that. And it's funny because my daughter's 5, and so it's, my mom cannot stop talking about these, even when my daughter's around, that you hear me like, I found out about this guy getting M-U-R-D-E-R-E-D. He was found in a D-U-M-P-S-T-E-R. And you're like, one day she will
spell. I'm just saying, I'm very impressed by how quickly you spelled both those words.
Nice. But I think, I just think it's funny that my mom's not like, I'll wait till she's gone. It's like, you have to hear this now. And it's
cannot wait.
A long story. And I'm like, are you sure you should tell me these? I get nightmares really easily. And you're like, oh yeah, this will definitely give you a nightmare. Let me tell you about it. But I love it. I mean, but I think
he's been
about
caught.
But sleep, I think
well.
That's really fun. So,
and actually, along these lines of what we were talking about before, and we usually talk about sports news, and I have one really quick thing if I could say, because I know we probably need to wrap up this section real quick. But normally we talk about sports news or Cubs or Colts or whatever. But we're recording this on June 5th, 2018, mm-hmm. and I've just found out that today is the 33-year anniversary for the Ferris Bueller Cubs game. That someone
actually went
back and,
studied
that game frame by frame to figure out which game it was. And it was done 33 years ago, Cubs versus, I didn't write that part down, but I think it was Milwaukee that they played. But it was done 33 years ago today, which was pretty cool. Another great movie if you haven't seen it.
Oh, absolutely.
One of our favorites.
Y'all had me watch that movie before we went to Chicago.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being really hesitant, like, that's not going to be a fun movie. It's just going to be like a PBS documentary about Chicago.
Yeah,
and
this
I was
is pretty
like,
much a PBS documentary.
Yeah, because you're like, it tells you all the things to look for in Chicago. I'm like, I'm good. I'll just see it when I see it. And and you had us watch that. And I was like, oh, maybe I've been underestimating my parents.
Oh, there we go. Nice.
But I loved it.
Good surprise.
I need you to have a t-shirt with that written on there.
I underestimated my parents.
That's the only time I thought it, and it was a fleeting moment. Starting in June 2018, Eastgate is proud to present Student Night. This is for students who are middle school aged or younger. Ages 7 and up is free. Ages 6 and below is only $5 per kid. This means a pretty cheap date night for parents. It's going to be on the third Friday of every month, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. at Eastgate Christian Fellowship. To learn more or to register your child online, head on over to eastgatefellowship.net/studentnight. We look forward to seeing you there.
So, that's not a thing.
What?
It's not a thing. It's not a thing.
What's not a thing?
Well, you know how one of the staples of church experience is to usually be prompted at some point within a service to make sure that you tithe, that you pay your tithe, or make sure that you're calculating your 10% for the 10% tithe. And interestingly enough, that in the context of New Testament believers, that's not a thing.
Shut your mouth.
No, that's the truth. I'm telling you.
This is a big thing, big deal for me when I first realized
this. That's why he said, your dad's a heathen, I can't.
I mean, I didn't say that, but I did. I was like, I don't think he's right on that.
Yeah, he did.
I did think that.
And we were already married at that point, so I was like, well.
Too late now.
Well, it isn't. It's a very difficult thing for people to release a grip on because it has been so woven into the fabric of our regular Christian church service and ceremony. But the reality is the law fulfilled its purpose. Jesus fulfilled it. And in the sense that the promises that were made to Abraham and to Moses are now fulfilled through Christ. Paul makes...
It's why we don't eat kosher.
It's why we don't eat kosher. It's why we don't require other anatomical alterations.
We mix our cottons.
That's right.
Our fabrics.
And this is, you know, this is what Paul said in Colossians 2:18 or 13. He says, God made us alive together with him, being Jesus, that is, having forgiven all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And the whole concept is if we go into the Old Testament and start pulling pieces of it out and applying it to ourselves as though under this dispensation or under this covenant, we're now obligated to those elements of the law, we're actually running contrary to what it is that Christ died for.
So you're saying we don't get to pick and choose the parts of the law we want people to follow.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting how nobody has made a big case for circumcision or something like that.
Right.
Whereas this, because it deals with somebody's money.
Well, and it's the people that would make the case for something like this are who are the people we hear make a case about anything? It's preachers.
Yeah.
And the preachers are the very ones who are going to, be hurt by the idea that this is, which is funny because I was thinking because I always thought 10%, at first I thought 10% was an actual rule. I thought it was in the Bible.
It
was funny. No, well, I mean, you pointed it out, but what was funny is I remember thinking it was funny because it was a rule I didn't keep, but I still thought it was a rule. So I was like, no, we got it. This is a rule. And what's funny is I was thinking later, I was like, it's still not a bad practicality.
Sure,
As far as just practically, because I'm a person who's just a very practical person. I'm looking at how do I set up my life? I don't do our finances, but if I did, that would just be, if I was thinking, how much do I give to church? 10% just makes sense. Just here, take 10%.
Sure.
Or whatever.
And I say that to people all the time.
Right.
That's fine. That's a good rule of thumb. Give, 10%, sure. Give 5%, give whatever.
Right, whatever.
But the principle is, and we find that principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul sets it out there that, we every day, every week, we set aside whatever it is we have, and then he even qualifies. I'm not telling you to give what you don't have, but according to what you have, you give generously so that you are providing and then God provides for us, and the cycle just keeps on going. God continues to provide for us so that we can continue to be generous, and generosity is the is the model attitude that we're called to.
I think about the story with JCPenney, which you probably heard, but you're looking at me like you don't, so I'll tell you.
Okay, cool.
Where he, when he started his store, was like, okay, well, 10% is going to go to the church. And then as he got more money, he increased what was given to the church and decreased what he kept for himself.
Huh.
To where eventually, by the end of it, because the store was so successful, he only kept 10% of his income and gave 90% to the church. And I think that's interesting because it goes with what you say of living generously.
That's right.
Where if we keep ourselves in bondage to the tithing mindset, his income that he gives to the church is going to stay at 10%.
He could have lived really extravagantly.
But he gave according to what he had, and what he had was a lot.
I think Rick Warren did the same thing.
Yeah, he did.
And you've even heard someone say, I think, feel like you heard someone say, that's okay, all I have to do is give God 10%, the rest of it's mine, with whatever I want.
I was just ready to say that there's an attitude that becomes embodied in that. That
true.
We all of a sudden have liberated then ourselves from God's rule
on
90% of what it is that we have, as long as we give him his 10%.
And then your heart's 10% not in cut.
You don't have to put your heart in it at all.
Exactly.
And you don't have the bill.
You don't even have to ask God what to do with the other part because he already got his cut.
Yes.
So hands off my stash, buddy.
And I will say that really the New Testament principle is all of it's his.
Well, right.
It is. And that we need to have our hearts open to whatever it is God wants us to do with what we've been given, because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
And to clarify, as staff members, we're not saying all of it is the church's. That is actually
no. It might be.
That's the chatterer speaking.
Sorry.
No, and that's exactly right. It's not just, we're not talking about the church. We're talking about generosity as a general rule of thumb in terms of life and not allowing money to control us. And
in fact, I think what we have over the offering boxes is God loves a cheerful giver, that verse. That's just the last part of it.
Right.
I forget the first part. But anyway, but basically that's the principle. We're not asking you to give out of compulsion, but to give out of your heart. Yeah. And God loves a cheerful giver. I remember one time I was standing near the front door back when we were in a different building anyway, and it happened to be near the offering box, and someone dropped a check in there and turned around and said, "Hey, could you help me with my power bill?" And I wanted to get into the offering box and say, "Here, take your check back."
Right.
You know, don't give something you don't have. Yeah. And so there is that principle, and we don't want ever anybody to give something they don't have.
I wonder if that person did that intentionally so you could see them.
I wonder.
See, yeah. I am giving. You're like, no, this is not really good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is that if we keep the 10% legal tithe in place, it does leave room for condemnation. So you've got these people who, and I've dealt with them over the years, people who are suffering all this internal angst because they feel like they're displeasing God because they haven't given their 10%, but I don't have any. I'm behind on my bills. How am I supposed to give 10%? And that's the whole principle, is that we give according to what we have, not what we don't have. But most of us have something. It's,
something.
There are people who are not able to pay their bills, and so don't feel bad about that. But most of us have some expendable income somewhere.
Maybe it's 1%, maybe it's 25%. It doesn't matter.
And
if it helps anybody, we've been in both places.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We've been in that place where we had nothing to give.
Yeah.
And we're in a place now where we have something.
But what we did give was our time.
What we did give
was time or energy or whatever we
had.
But the generosity is the key, because that is the demonstration of love, and that brings God's wisdom into the world.
Yeah.
And it's pretty important.
So,
tithing, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Speaking of money, Janelle and I have worked a lot together. We are like-minded this way with money matters. And
Rob,
so
we can go take a nap.
Yeah,
I'm take a nap.
Hey, stop it.
Rob actually acted it out.
Actually, I'm sick of you two always looking for an excuse to snuggle.
Stop.
I don't need an excuse.
So I'm going to let Janelle share a money minute this time.
Yes. Okay, so I think it's interesting because my mom is obsessed with Dave Ramsey, and I'm the one who introduced her to the man of her dreams.
I gave you the kudos.
Man of her dreams. Wow.
Interesting.
All right, Dad.
There it is.
one thing I wanted to say is that Matt and I got into debt from credit cards and student loans and different things along the way. And in college, I was like, they gave me a credit card. This is free money.
It's plastic.
So beautiful.
I'm like, give me this piece of plastic. They give you stuff.
I said, Matt's going to Disney World. Well, I'll go too. I got a credit card and convinced him to marry me. And here we are, paying it off to this day. So now
I'm paying.
Perfect. That was your little marriage gift from me.
You're welcome.
But one thing I want to tell people is, first of all, not to be embarrassed or ashamed of that.
I think that's
something that this culture that we have just tells you different things about it, different lies about it, that A, it's something to be embarrassed about, or B, you have to have debt to be credible or to have good credit. Mm. And I think both are lies. So one thing that Matt and I did, actually just me, because Matt knows nothing
about it. Yeah, you keep saying Matt and I. I mean, I appreciate
it. He's agreeable.
I appreciate the... But I mostly just sit there and say, just tell me if I need to get another job.
He honestly doesn't want to know.
Do I need to get another job? I'll go get another job. Just tell me. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit in this chair.
About once a week, this conversation really does happen.
Do I need to get a job? I've said that so many times in our lives.
I'm like, no, three's good. Anyway, so what I started doing, I think it was about 3 years ago, on an Excel spreadsheet, but you could just use regular pen and paper if you're not into computers, I wrote down every debt that we had, whatever it was, whether it was money we owed on our phones, credit card, car payment, anything I could think of. And I wrote it all out. And then I just every month updated what we owed to those things, student loans. And it was kind of discouraging at first because only like maybe $20 was changing from that thing. But I actually set it up in my spreadsheet was to create a formula of the percentage that we've paid off as well. And so it was something that it's been really cool because I see the beginning time that we did this 3 years ago to today. And it's been, you know, $15,000, $20,000. I don't remember that we've paid off.
Wow.
And we've gone to Disney World a couple times. So who knows how much more we could have paid off. But also just the fact that we've been able to do that and continue paying.
Been able to like live a life while
And it's been decreased by 40%. And so that's something that, again, you look at it and you feel discouraged. But to me, that was really helpful. And we have friends that I think they one of them drew like a little pig, like a money bank, you know, piggy bank pig, and they did little sections of each debt and then they colored it in as they paid it off. And I think just I'm a visual person
and there's a psychological boost.
Absolutely. Right, that I have that psychological boost for my spreadsheet, but other people who maybe don't want to do that or maybe in addition could have that little, you know, graph or little thermometer or whatever that you're filling that in, and just knowing those little things do make a difference, and just how good that feels. And remember, stay on track, stay focused, and do what you can. And it goes with the tithing thing of if it's not a lot, that's okay. Hey, that doesn't mean give up and forget the whole thing, but it just means keep going. That's my money minute.
I love it. That's funny. Like I just actually printed the next 2 years of our mortgage payments. We're down to our mortgage for our last debt. And I printed out like what it will look like with each payment, what it goes down to with the, and that's without paying any extra.
Wow.
Which has a funny effect. It makes me not want to pay extra because I have to print another sheet. How terrible is that? Very, very OCD. But it's like, either way, I can see each payment, what our total balance is. And Rob said, oh, is that all of it? Is that? And I said, no, but this is 2 years worth. Yeah. And by the end of 2 years, I'm going to need to print a new sheet, I'm sure. But either way, it was just something about seeing the progress.
Right.
You know,
just being able to mark that
and
off.
See, for me, when I looked at it, it was all these numbers and it all just kind of blended together into kind of a road.
Janelle's tried to show me her spreadsheet every once in a while, like when we're like either doing really good or really bad. And I'll look at it and just be like, it doesn't matter what it means. I'm like, do I need to get another job? Like, do you need me to go get another job?
It's like, bottom line though.
I don't care about this. This is just like zeros and ones on a screen. Do I need to go get my more money for you to put into
it? I know. And I tell him like, I think I might start babysitting. He goes, it's because you want me to get another job, isn't it? And you just don't know how to ask me. I'm like, why? How is this always a thing with you? No, you're good.
That's hilarious. And you know what? That is a perfect segue to the next thing we were going to ask you.
Okay.
In a marriage minute.
Yes.
Yes.
How do you, I know you guys have had different.
We've been through counseling.
Yes. We I was going to say, I don't know how to word this delicately.
We don't word it delicately.
No, we always word it as we graduated from marriage counseling multiple times with flying colors.
Okay, so my question is,
we're great at it.
How do you navigate through different personalities with different personalities in a marriage?
If you got a couple and they have like distinctly different personalities and distinctly different interests that they want to pursue, the things that are you know, even just on a casual level that seem to be dividing them. It seemed to have them going in different directions. What would you say to a couple like
so,
that?
So you're going to let me go first, right?
Sure. I had something to say, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I feel like one thing I want to say is that I feel like there are certain things with marriage before we went into marriage counseling, which is there's a couple myths I feel like I had, which was this is just my life now. You know, we have different interests. That, for example, we have different interests. Well, too bad, figured out. This is your life now. Get over it. Marriage is hard. Or it's not going to get better. And so that's something that I feel like marriage counseling really helped us understand. There's no shame in figuring out if we can do this better.
Right.
In fact,
right.
I feel like that goes with the Bible of where the world says humility isn't awesome. God says, no, that's the best place to be. And it's humbling to say we need help and we're not maybe doing this the best we can. So one thing I would say is that was the specific thing that Matt and I dealt with is we got married. I was 20 years old and Matt was 22 years old and it's been almost 10 years and I feel like we've changed a lot.
We're different people.
And our interests have changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And that was a struggle for me, you know, just wondering how does this work? How does this look? You know, do we just live separate lives or just force us to be dependent on each other's interests. And I feel like that's a good example of marriage does take work. Right. Keep looking and finding till you find something that you both like. I guarantee you something out there exists. If you were able to get along enough to get married,
exactly.
There's that's something right. out right. there that does exist. And I'd say there's two parts to this answer. One is find something, at least one thing, that you both enjoy doing and do that regularly. But the other thing is allow for separate interests. That mm-hmm. was a big thing that Matt
had. Can I talk about
yeah,
that?
You go.
All right, so the big thing for me when we got to counseling was at one point our counselor asked me to draw what it looks like when people are married, to basically make a creative Venn diagram where each person is one of the circles, basically. And
draw what a
perfect marriage looks like based on a Venn diagram with each of you being one of the circles. So I drew it, and I mean they're not right on top of each other, but they're close. I mean they're like, you know,
it looks like a shaded singular circle, like concentric
yeah,
circles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she said, okay, let me show you what it should look like. And it was circles that just had one section in the middle that was connected.
That overlapped.
A Venn diagram, two circles. And I said, And you know, I grew up in the church hearing, you know, two become one, and you know, and she even brought that up. And when she first showed me that, I was like, that's not true. I don't believe that at all. And she was trying to say, no, you're still connected. There's a connection there, but you're not the same person. You and Janelle did not become married and become, you know, one uniformed human being. You still have your own interests. Right. But let's start with this. And she would like have me like say, list stuff off that you would describe yourself as, stuff you like, stuff that, and I would write all this stuff down. She said, now do stuff that you think Janelle, like things that you would describe Janelle as. And she said, now do things that you think you both would fit and that would fit in the middle. And it was a smaller list because there were two human mm-hmm. beings were different. And she was like, that is a healthy marriage. When you try to make mm-hmm. you one circle, that's when you start to think. We have to, when
you force
you're,
things
you
in.
Are trying, you're desperately pulling the other person to be the person that you
and
are.
You're saying we don't have anything in common.
Right. Or you're something. Desperately trying to become the person that they are. Mm-hmm. And that's not what marriage is.
Both ways are unhealthy.
Yeah. Both ways are unhealthy. And so that was a huge thing, is that learning that your differences are okay. Like it is, it can be even something that you grow to like. Is that was huge for me. That changed our whole marriage.
And I think like, because you are obsessed with movies and I am not.
Right.
And it's something though that.
That's like that's a minor thing, but still like it. Yeah.
Right. But it's something that we've learned on how to work with that together, and that I listen to Matt talk about movies. You know, I'm interested because I care about you. I want to hear you talk about movies. And
like, you give me space. You give me time. Like, hey, go watch a movie. Go do this thing.
I'm going to take a nap.
Right. And same with you with the beach. Like, you're a huge beach person. So
and
I
you
let
don't
you,
like the beach. And I
let you go to the beach. Like, you guys go and hang out at the beach. And mm-hmm. and there was a point in our marriage where I either would have felt bad that I didn't go mm-hmm. or I would have gone. And it would have not been fun for anybody because I'm not going to enjoy being at the beach.
You're like an old man at the beach where you wear Velcro sandals, socks.
I'm Larry David at the beach with my full jeans on. Like, I don't normally wear pants, but I probably wear pants to the beach and just be like, what do I do now?
Is this right?
What do I do with my hands?
Is this what you wanted?
But what was so great about this is it reminded me, like, oh, I don't have to love the beach, but I can love Janelle for loving the beach. Like, right. That can be part of what I love about awesome. Janelle.
And it's one of those things, I go to the beach.
She loves the beach.
I do what I love. You stay home and watch movies. You do what you love. And then we meet up later and eat
we both had
together,
this great time, and then we were like, okay, well, let's watch a movie we both like,
or
let's
play a game with our daughters.
Exactly,
you know,
let's go for a walk. We both like those, and so you find that if you again, I think that's a great point. If you've gotten married, there was probably something that made you
drew you
married.
Together in the first place. Yeah. Something that was
and
there,
don't give
was
up. And I think that there's that idea of marriage is hard, and thinking, well, that means you're miserable, and that's the hard part. And I think the hard part is finding what makes you happy.
Correct.
And look for that. Does
I like
that make
them.
Sense?
Yeah, very much so. And I think that another thing about this, what you're describing there, plays into the things that are problematic with our culture. In that, so then you've got a couple who, like, the struggles that you were facing, like, man, we don't have these things in common.
Right.
Oh, no, what am I going to do? I mean, they're going to be miserable. So that's just it.
Right.
I'm going to be miserable.
It's just my life.
Or then we start the process, well, maybe I didn't get the best deal. Right. Maybe maybe there was, you know, maybe, you know, maybe the one is out there for me somewhere.
Right.
Nobody saw me make my heart.
The heart with your hands.
It was beautiful.
Really sweet middle school age heart with his hands.
I had goosebumps.
But that's the thing. We start thinking along those lines that, you know, I could have, and that's where the consumerism kicks in, that I didn't get the deal I wanted. I'm going to trade in. I'm going to find a new deal. Mm-hmm. And so that is a wonderful practical observation about marriage. And you guys are wise beyond your years, and I really appreciate you.
Well, we really are like huge proponents of counseling. like for us, it was big, and I think that and not even just proponents, for people that think that you shouldn't be, it shouldn't feel like, oh my gosh, we're about to end this thing, and if counseling is just our last ditch effort. Mm-hmm. No, it can just be like, no, just do it. Help. Just it's a help. Like,
if
it
nothing
doesn't
else,
hurt
anything. Being able to get an objective perspective
into
the
situation.
From a
person who's trained to know how to handle this stuff and knows what different people are like and knows tools that they can give you. Right. And like, it was a...
Well, also the fact that we went to counseling one time, it was helpful. And then we found ourselves needing it even more than we did before.
Right.
And that was a hard thing of realizing, well, we've already done counseling. There's that part in your mind where like, we've already done it. It didn't work.
We tried it. Didn't work.
Too bad. Yeah. We're done. You know, and realizing, go back to that. Humble yourself again.
I was just going
to
say, it takes humility.
Don't give up.
It takes a willingness to have to.
And don't say, I've done everything I can, when you can go back. And if maybe the counselor you found before wasn't great, there's lots of counselors out there. Don't think that that's...
And Proverbs tells us that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And of course, we're not talking about a professional counselor situation, but the principle holds that when we're off thinking that, well, I've got to figure this out, I have the Holy Spirit, I got to figure this out on my own, well, that contradicts actually even what the Bible says.
That's a huge thing for me in general, is this idea is that hopefully, and I think that we at Eastgate do this well, and I think the church in general is doing this better, but this idea of not... thinking that mental issues, which this a lot of marriage stuff is based on mental issues.
Well, you have to be mental to get married.
Exactly. To commit yourself to one person, that's crazy. But is reminding yourself that this is not necessarily just like a, if you just pray, Jesus will fix it. Mm-hmm. Again, I come back to, it's such an easy comparison, but like, if you break your arm, you do not pray over it and then just hope it heals itself.
Some people
go to a doctor. You do.
Okay, but some people do.
Most people don't because they know that I think God offered, we prayed for that for centuries, and God said, here's modern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. It's a good point. And I think that, I think not only does it require humility, I think it's something that at least our experience was in the crazy church. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I don't know if it's other people's experience.
Yeah,
too,
sure
or if that's
it is.
Kind of
I'm
been
sure.
the church thing where you don't do that. I think they're a little more open to it now in some circles. I know the Vineyard was they had counselors and all that. And I just think it's super important. And it's unfortunate if only one member of the marriage is willing to go.
Yeah.
But it is, I believe, our experience has been super helpful. We've always encouraged people to do that.
Well, and like I said, we thought that it meant that you had a bad marriage if you say that you do want to go to counseling and but also, you know, you talking about that with the church, you know, I feel like that kind of goes with, that's not a thing. If I was talking to someone recently who was talking to me about their marriage, because people talk to Matt and I a lot, again, we graduated with flying colors multiple times. And they said that in their marriage counseling before they were married, their premarital counseling was, if you have marriage issues, don't talk to anyone about it.
Oh,
keep that a secret. Because you don't want it to seem like you're talking bad about your husband. And so they were told, keep that inside. Don't share that with other people. That's the biblical way. If you want to be a good Christian, you don't tell other people. And I thought, man, oh, I wonder how many other people who have kind of had that myth, you know, of thinking. And this person, as they told me about it, kept saying, I hope it doesn't seem like I'm talking bad about my husband, because they wanted to do the right thing. And in desperation to do the right thing, felt like, maybe that's not sharing it, or is it sharing it, you know, and that that struggle. And so that's something too that I feel like,
I think most people should be discerning enough to know whether they're getting counsel or they're gossiping. And for the most part, you're probably getting, I mean,
but that's another myth I feel like I want to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's okay to figure out, you know, if that's where you need to go or whatever. And Matt and I are always happy to talk about it.
That's awesome. I appreciate that so much.
Yep, that's wonderful. Good words.
Cool.
Yes, we appreciate that. Okay, this is a weird transition, but we kind of touched on a couple of these things already, but I know you guys, your main jobs are mostly at Eastgate, but yes. I know you both do a few things outside of Eastgate too. Do you want to tell everybody about that just in case they don't know about?
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
All right, I do a couple of things, and I'll try to go quick. One, Cole and I, the youth leader at Eastgate, which I assume at one point he'll be a guest on this podcast, I assume, at some point.
Yes.
We bond over our love of movies as in general, not really over specific movies, because he's insane and doesn't like certain things or likes, you know, this foreign black and white depressing four-hour.
He's a different character, isn't he?
He's crazy. But we bond over this general love of movies. So we both write reviews for the local Panama City News Herald newspaper. And that's a lot of fun. So I do that on the side. We do once a week, we write a review on a movie that's in theaters. This most recent one, we just wrote a review on Upgrade, which is this kind of, it's smaller. It's a smaller sci-fi action movie, not for kids. I'll put that out there as quick as I can, but we both really liked it. And then this upcoming
movie. That comes out on Fridays.
It comes out every Friday.
That's cool.
So we do that. We also teach a class at Gulf Coast State College. It's a continuing ed class for mostly older people.
Yeah, about movies. Loved it.
Oh, it was great. It's a lot of fun. Last semester we did a class on music and film, and this upcoming semester we're going to do a Disney animation appreciation class. Ooh. Which is going to be fun. So that's coming up. And then I play around town, play music around town some, play at Trigo mostly, sometimes at other places.
That's why when Matt says, do you want me to get another job? I'm like, you already have like four jobs.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, but they're also sporadic. Anyways, but and they're things I like, so it's hard. It's always hard for me to count them as jobs, but they're things I enjoy. So anyways, that's the main stuff I do, other than just like hanging out with, outside of those things and Eastgate and my responsibilities, I try to spend as much time as possible in my chair at my home in front of my television with my laptop on my lap. That is my absolute happy place, with either no pants or happy pants on, watching awesome. Some movie that Janelle is annoyed about, and, you know, writing reviews for movies.
Honestly, Matt knows too, like when we watch movies together, he's always like, what kind of movie do you want? And I'm like, you know. And it's always...
Janelle wants to watch romance and or comedy and or courtroom dramas and or biography. True life movies. That's all Janelle cares about. Those are the four categories.
But that's where we go awesome. To finding the comedy.
There you go. There's the common.
The common ground, because he's like, well, I like any movie, and I'm like, well, I like these specific movies.
I like any movie, and I tend towards like darker. I like horror. I like creepy, action. Yeah. I like weird. But I also I love comedy, so that's where we.
So I'm like, awesome. Well, this is what we're watching.
So that's what I like to do. I play drums at my house. I don't play drums like as a professional and public ever. But that's probably my absolute favorite thing to do outside of just sitting in front of the television.
That's awesome.
Playing drums.
I just learned that Iggy Pop was a drummer to begin with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did not know that.
That's cool.
Anyway,
that sort of makes sense.
So, Janelle, you do.
Janelle, what do you do? You do all sorts of stuff.
I don't know. I feel like I just work.
All right, I'll tell you. Janelle has a garden in our backyard, first of all.
I love my garden.
She's growing tomatoes. And
that's something too, where like, again, with Matt, like I listen to Matt talk about movies. He will come and I give him a tour of our garden like twice a week. And he's like, yeah, I was here 2 days ago. I'm like,
I've never said that. But I'm sure she thinks that. That's
I mean,
what
you
I'm
have to be thinking. I'm like, but look, this one, this red pepper looks a little redder today. He's like, yes, it does.
So sweet.
So yeah.
So that's one thing.
I'm obsessed with the garden. Actually, it's very much my happy place. Like, you know, you and Matt and I have had our struggles with depression and anxiety, and sometimes in the darkest of places, it can be hard to find a reason to get out of bed. And it's silly, because it's like you have a family, you have a child, you have so many good things. But for me, I'm like, I got to get up and check on my garden, and I got to add some water to it. And it's depending on me to survive, you know, and it's one of those things that it's just brought so much joy to my life, and it's something that I've tried for, this is probably my fourth year in a row trying it, but it's finally worked, you know,
it's
and I'm like,
not easy to garden in Florida.
Don't give up, you know.
Janelle is just such a, like, huge, it's funny because Janelle's such a, like, and these two things are not, like, separate by any means, but, like, lots of times, Janelle's such a, like, activist for, like, the female agenda. She loves like reading about, like,
I don't like women or any person being limited.
Exactly. And well, but you are a woman.
Because so of their race or because of their gender or whatever.
Or whatever it may be. But, but what's funny is Janelle loves the things that would be stereotypes, maybe unfairly, towards women. She loves gardening. She loves cooking. Cooking is a huge thing for Janelle. Janelle loves sewing and crafts and knitting. Yeah. And she's very good at these things too. Oh, like she's very good. And Janelle is a person who cannot sit still. Like, where I'm very happy sitting in a chair for hours on end, Janelle cannot.
I'm married to one of those too.
Yeah. we've bonded over this before, where I'm like, Janelle, watch this movie. She goes, okay. I start the movie in like 20 minutes in. All right, what am I going to be doing? And I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm like, you're going to have to pause, and I come out with buckets of yarn. I'm like, what do you want me to knit? It's like, I would just love to watch the movie.
I just
want to
watch the movie.
I'm like, okay, I'll Google something or Pinterest something.
I'm playing Words with Friends, or I'm working on work.
But I also, this
Robbie's
is,
always got a spreadsheet open doing something.
Yes, I mean, you have to.
Yeah, and, you don't. Multitask.
It's funny because people will say, like, Janelle, how are you so productive? And I'm like, a couple of things. One, I don't sit still, and two, I never close doors. Which I'm like, that's my secret to getting multiple things done, is I never waste time closing doors, including when I go to the bathroom.
We're turning off lights.
No!
That is one thing we haven't worked out in marriage counseling yet. How do I get her to close the door when she's in the bathroom?
And I say, walk away.
Closing the door. This is all wrong. You were raised better than this.
I say, if I can't be like this in my own house, where can I be like this?
Nowhere! Yeah. That's the whole point. Nowhere.
That's the point.
Sticky.
That's like saying, if I can't murder people in my own house, where can I murder
That's
people?
That's a private moment.
Other things I do, as I tutor.
Yes.
I started tutoring a kid for math, and that's been so much fun, and I love it, and I want to do that more. It's one of those things that I like if people need sewing projects or tutoring or whatever it is that I have that I can help with, that's honestly where I find a lot of joy. Anyway,
that's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Oh my gosh,
you guys are delightful.
Yes, you are. Yeah. And I think you've shared so much. I love it because I think
you shared so much.
I didn't mean it like that.
Thank you much. On and on and on.
It's funny because my dad keeps squinting at the time, like as it ticks up. And he goes,
he keeps suddenly looking at the computer by turning his head all the way around.
I'm making eye contact with him as I tell a story. He's making eye contact with the clock. He's just saying, you're delightful. And I'm like, are you talking to me?
Well, I was going to ask you guys to share something that others may not know about you. I don't know if there's anything.
I have
else.
Something.
Okay, good. Let's hear it.
People might not know that I have a real potty mouth.
She does. That's a really good one.
Isn't that
that's
great?
A really good one. Yeah.
So people who are my really, really, really good friends know that I swear like a sailor. Like, honestly.
I did not know that myself until fairly recently, that most of my kids actually have a little bit of a potty mouth.
Except for Daniel, I think. Daniel's probably the only one that doesn't really have that.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. And Dad and I debate this regularly. Yep. And it's funny because yesterday, my verse of the day for the Bible was like, don't use foul language
or whatever. No corrupt communication come out of your mouth.
I was like, hopefully Dad's never read this verse.
You can define corrupt communication as gossip.
Right. Well,
you can define that. I mean, that's the thing.
And that's where I feel like it's cool that we go to a church, that you created, that we can, have differences on these convictions and still hang out with each other and love each other. And it's something that I know people are convicted by this and they don't like it. So I really don't do that around people unless I know they're comfortable.
You
know
how to control.
I do my best.
You try to control it.
I try to control it around, obviously around kids, because I hang out with kids a lot. I work with kids a lot.
Yes.
And they can get in trouble for that at school and stuff.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's ever been an issue.
No, but, and then also just adults, if I really don't know where they stand, I do my best to be sensitive to their convictions, because I do think that's a biblical principle, Dad. But I think in terms of just what I decide is appropriate or not appropriate, I think that it's totally fine. And I've told you this before, that for Christians, there's so many things that it's kind of like, no. Maybe don't do that. Where I think, swearing is a great way to have that release. And I also don't use it as a way to yell at people. It's usually in joking manner, so I use it as a way to get my point across.
Totally. Along those lines, and I will be totally So if you're tapping your foot constantly, right?
I know. Sorry. I mean, if
I'm
y'all
not
can,
looking at you
he's
right
debating,
now.
He's debating how much if of this do I
much
cut
can
out?
I edit? He finally yeah. looked away from the clock to just judge us with silent looks.
One of my private podcasts that I listen to, they use foul language quite liberally.
Oh, yes.
And I've shared it with a few people that have asked me about it. And one of them came up to me last Sunday and said, I listen to your podcast. It's a true crime podcast. And she said to me, they really use a lot of foul language. I said, I know, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. And it took me a long time to get past that where I don't even think about it now. And she goes, yeah, I've gotten kind of past it too, to where I kind of start using it now. I was even texting someone some foul language. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's great.
And so I think I've learned to roll with it a little bit, but you do have to be careful about not to let it out at the wrong times.
But I mean, y'all don't ever hear me yell at anybody with that language. You know what I mean? Like, it's never in a mean-spirited way. And that,
right.
I feel like with Christianity,
I think it can be done in a
like
funny
I'm looking
way.
At dad and he's giving me the look. You can never outgrow those looks from your dad. But that is, like, with Christianity, God looks at the heart. And he knows my heart. And
well,
that is,
I,
jokes
actually,
are funny.
I, think,
God likes
I genuinely think there are times, there's almost any, there's a time to use almost, not all of them, but almost any word in an appropriate manner, that actually that word was the word to use at that moment.
Mm.
I think that's possible. I'm not saying that that's, I mean,
does
I'm not
the Bible
even,
ever cuss?
I was just going to say that the Apostle Paul uses
see, and you're obsessed with him.
Salty language when he's describing about how he counts all things as loss, and he was pointing out all of his great accomplishments as a Pharisee.
Oh, and he counts all his dung.
And he uses the word skubalon in the Greek, which was absolutely street language that we would translate as a different kind of word, which we're not going to use on this podcast.
This is a family podcast.
What, you're like a little kid just had to yell out poop all of a sudden.
Little kid or me.
anyway,
that was a soft version.
I will just
of it.
Say that I, yeah.
That's a great thing.
Does anyone have a pen? I got to write that down.
All I can say is that when Rob retires, maybe he'll let you know.
Yeah, this feels really like, check, it. When Rob retires, you need to follow him on Twitter. That's going to be a Twitter you're going to want to follow.
Because I'm in charge of your gravestone when you die, and we're going to have only swearing on it.
Let me quickly say
I'm sick of you.
Check quickly say my only,
I want to hear Matt.
Hold on, real quick, though. Because I need to offer at least a little bit of a counter-argument or rebuttal.
No, you're
got a pastor a little.
Well, no, but it's just that I do believe that there is, a level of language that we as humans should seek to attain to.
You not think agree. I do that?
Not trying to. No, I'm not talking about just like trying to create a set of rules. Like hear the words.
Hear the words, right?
But I'm saying that in terms of communication and language,
agreed.
Being as powerful as it is, that I just a free for all or willy nilly approach, and that's not what I'm saying. You're saying. I'm just saying that I always want to put that out there as a
I agree.
Can you boil that down to know your audience?
But and
right,
and
that's my big thing that I say to people is know your audience. I say it to my sister all the time when she says inappropriate things to my parents. To know your audience.
She's one of the people that listens to this.
I know. That's why I thought she'd like
that
we're talking
about. She's asleep by now.
I'll go quickly. I don't really have much to say.
Yeah. What do people not know about you? Don't say that you like movies.
I love movies.
Everybody knows that.
Shocks people. No, I was going to say that I think everybody at this table might know, but I am a meticulous planner. I am a person who I have a to-do list on my phone that I kind of stick to almost too religiously. Like when I finish something, I immediately go back to it to see like what else is on there. Oh. To the point where I'm probably like I'm trying to work on it actually. Janelle's sitting here nodding like wide-eyed. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And I have a list at work. Like Janelle and I will talk about work and she's like, oh, I gotta get this and this and this done. It's just like sort of this random hodgepodge of stuff. Definitely. And I am like even just today we had a staff meeting and something came up and I was like, okay, let me put that on my calendar, and it was a year from now. But I know that I check my calendar so meticulously that I will know in a year from now, oh, right, that's right, I put this on here. So
see, I'm my father's daughter that I'm like, who knows if we're even going to have internet in a year.
That's true.
Yeah,
don't waste your time. The apocalypse is anything.
The rapture could have already
But if
happened.
You do, this I want to be prepared for it. I want to be, and what's funny
this is
where
I relate to Matt.
Yeah, I'm not a numbers person. Like, Robbie and I disagree. Not disagree. We differ on that, but as far as just like, I have a list. I want to get this stuff done at this time.
Because, like, I can put something down. Like, even, like, in our planning things for Eastgate, we'll write things down about, you know, after action reports on different things we do. And the year later, we come back to it, and we don't have a clue.
Who are these
why,
people?
Yeah, why like, did we write?
These psychos that we should.
I feel like Robbie and I are the ones sitting there saying, maybe we should listen to this. There's no reason we wrote this down. Like,
no.
Let's detail. Let's make some, yeah. Add some more like, details.
Let's find things
year.
To mock about the people so, from last year.
Even when it comes... So when it comes to Eastgate stuff, like I am so meticulous about how I get my work done. Like I have on certain days, I do these things for worship. This is how I pick the songs for each week. This is how I research the songs that I'm going to potentially
it
play.
It is nice to know that you put all that into that.
Oh, he
that's
does.
Really.
I mean, I do work really hard on it, but it's not even just that. That's not what I'm talking. I'm more talking about like I'm very like. Kind of like anal retentive. Oh,
I can see how that would be a two-sided coin in that it can be a help. And then it's a yeah. regimented format for you, but then on the other hand, it can be like almost like
it quenches creativity.
Let me say some things here about this. It is a double-edged sword, and that one and the good side of it is that like,
I thought you were gonna swear when you said, let me say some things about this.
You know, I wanted to. You see, those who know me when I say things, like, let me say some.
Oh, there's been
things.
Multiple times in this. I'm like, wow, good for you. Say the word you wanted to
you
say.
Held back.
Look at you. But the positive is that like there's trash all in the car and people you're like, oh, is it okay if I put the trash in the car? I'm like, sure, Matt's gonna clean that on Thursday. Do whatever you
sure.
want.
Sure, I always had the car clean.
Do whatever you want. It's fine. I have a servant that will take care of that. But then
I don't like this.
The other side of it, the negative side, is that if there's last minute plans or change of plans, Matt.
Yeah, I do struggle with that. But that's like that's true.
That's because you feel restrained then.
So spontaneity
also by
is not
list.
A big thing.
I'm not great with spontaneity. I don't love when like when I'm making friends with people, one of the first things as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at telling people like if they like, hey, you want to go grab a beer? Or do you want to go like Quinn, when we first became friends with him, you want to go golfing today? I'm just like, absolutely not. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. But that was
that's
my
plan
right now. You're ruining that. And it's not Quinn's fault. It's just it throws me off. So
I'm with Rob too. He'll be like, hey, let's go do this. And he'll just rattle off a list of things. And I'm like,
right.
It's not like I'm doing nothing right now.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I am.
That's what's funny is when I say I'm doing
this.
Nothing, I'm usually sitting down.
He's sitting in his chair like we discussed.
But I'm not. But I'm never sitting just staring at the TV. I've always had my laptop. And it's not like I'm just surfing Facebook. I'm like getting something done. So.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win. I'm not great with spontaneity.
I need some time.
I like the idea of it.
I like the idea of it too.
I love the idea of it.
I'm
jealous.
Give me some time.
Yes,
I need to wrap my mind around it.
I'm fine with being spontaneous, but give me a day.
I find a lot of life and I find a lot of energy in
me too.
Give me a day to be spontaneous.
Like the other day when all of a sudden I flipped on the because you weren't able to go, but I flipped on the surf cam and it's like, hey, there's a wave. Let's go. I mean, I was on my way to do something else. I thought, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do this.
And that's what Matt is like. Matt's like, are you going to the beach with your family tomorrow or not? Yes or no?
No, there was the morning.
Just give me a minute.
Monday morning, this Monday.
And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see.
You and Sam were just sitting on the couch.
He can't handle
reading something. And I was just like getting stuff done. And I'm like, there's stuff I want to do, but if they're going to be here, like, I can't really do it with them here.
You have two
different
lists depending on whether we're there.
No, it's true. Like, there's stuff that would bother you, and I don't want to bother you, or, like, stuff I want to work on that I, like, I, you know what I mean? Like, and so you're being, so finally I was just like, are you going to the beach? What's happening? Are you not going to the beach? And you're like, oh, yeah, I think we're gone. I don't know. And I was like, can you please find out?
I just called my dad at the youth retreat.
Is that right?
That's exactly. I said, fine. Yep. I'll
so
call
now,
him.
Well, this is perfect. So we full come
circle.
To the full circle.
Yeah, because Matt's like, I'm like, I don't know. It depends if it's sunny. And he's like looking out the window. Well, the weather says, I'm like, well, let's see when we want to go if it's sunny. And he's like, there's a weather app. Do you have it?
All right. That's awesome.
Anyways, we've talked a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
We might have just run out of words.
This was perfect. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're done.
Having
but...
you.
I think we are.
Acting like
I know
I was
that
done.
Matt
done
and I are done.
20 minutes ago.
According to my list, we are done.
Yay!
Party.
All right.
This was fun.
Thanks for having
again.
Us.
Well,
yes.
Again, and this is what makes Eastgate, all these different personalities that get together and try to find our way through to serving God and serving each other, because this is what it's all about. Because, I mean, this is Eastgate. We're learning how to love God. We're learning how to love others.
This is our story so far.
God bless you guys.
Plant me in your garden. Surround me in your courts.
Intro music for the Wonder What podcast was provided by Matt Green from his album Psalms, available for purchase at Bandcamp, iTunes, or stream it online at Spotify. Additional music written and performed by The Vivisectors, Joe Marson, Scott Holmes, and Ryan Anderson via the Free Music Archive.
Kitty cat's trying to eat Samantha's food. I'll be right back.